Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Pierre, good afternoon. Great to have you on with us again. I wanted to start with something that we saw here in studio. I think it was on NBC Sports. They had a Penguins Day. They were playing back a bunch of classic games. And I saw you on the bench with Scotty Bowman. I think it was for the Blackhawks Stanley Cup Series. And then I had to go back and look up your age. And I don't know if I've ever asked you about this before. Getting into coaching, NHL coaching, at such a young age, how old were you and how did that happen, Pierre?
Well, first of all, Andrew and Chris, nice to visit with you and your listeners. And I hope everybody's as safe and
right
as
back
sound
at you.
As they can be. You know, the where I'm living right now in Connecticut is really a battle area. It really is. The New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. It's just, you guys wouldn't believe what's going on here right now. That being said, this is a nice way of having fond memories of some great moments in my early coaching career. I first played professional hockey over in Europe after playing 4 years in college. And after that, I was signed by the New Jersey Devils as a player. At the end of camp, I got sent to the minors, and I just did not want to go there. I was going to go back to Europe and play. And I got an opportunity to go coach college hockey. And for 1 year, I coached at Hobart College in Geneva, New York. Then I went to Babson College in Boston, which was a Division II team at the time, and I coached there for 3 years. And then I went to St. Lawrence University, and I coached there for 2 years. And then along the way, Scotty Bowman and I became very good friends. And I was watching a press conference from Pittsburgh in my apartment up in Canton, in New York, where St. Lawrence is. And I see Scotty Bowman, Craig Patrick, and Bob Johnson at a press conference. And it's probably late May, early June, and probably 3 minutes after the press conference ended, my phone rang, and it was Scotty Bowman, and he says, "What are you doing over the next little while?" I said, "Not much." He goes, "Good, there'll be a plane ticket for you in Ottawa. Get on the plane, meet me in Toronto, because we'll connect on to Vancouver. I want to talk to you about a job." And that's the history of it. That's how I started working
Wow.
for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah.
Pierre, did you have any inkling sort of before any of the coaching jobs at the collegiate level? You mentioned that coaching was something you wanted to do. Was that a back of your mind thing all along, that that was something you eventually wanted to make out of your career?
Yeah, once the playing part didn't go the way I wanted it to go, I knew I wanted to coach. I had no idea I'd ever get the opportunity to coach in the National Hockey League. But when I started coaching, it was 24/7 for me, and it was 365 days a year. I run hockey camps all over the country, on both sides of the border, Canada, the United States. I go to Europe and work with players in the off season. I did a lot, and the more reps you get, and the more time you spend around the rink, and the more people you talk to, and the more people you work with, the better you become at it, and the more knowledgeable you become. So it was always something that once I got into it, I really wanted to do it. One of my favorite memories of early on in my career, and I was young, I was younger than 30 when I started in the NHL.
Wow.
I remember walking from what is now the Westin Hotel in Pittsburgh up to the Civic Arena, the old Igloo, the first day of training camp, by myself, really early in the morning. And I remember saying to myself, "I can't believe I'm actually working for this team. This is unbelievable." And I just took my time walking up the hill. And I walked in the door, and it was just the first day of practice. I'll never forget it. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'll always remember that.
Pierre, in my opinion, Scotty Bowman is the greatest hockey coach of all time. So how did somebody as accomplished as Scotty Bowman forge a relationship with a young coach in his 20s like he did?
he watched me run practices, believe it or not, at St. Lawrence. Back then, Scotty wasn't running the Buffalo Sabres. He was out of the National Hockey League. He was doing TV for Hockey Night in Canada. And so he would drive to Montreal, which was where he did most of his games from, on Saturday nights. But he'd usually leave Wednesday or Thursday to drive up from Buffalo, where he lived. And he'd stop in and watch our team practice. And I remember one time him asking, before he went to Pittsburgh, he actually almost went to take over the New York and run the New York Rangers as a president and general manager of their team. And he said, if I go to New York, I want you to come with me. And I remember, like it was yesterday, he called me up from his meeting in New York, and he says, we're not going to New York. So I said, okay, I get it. But I think one of the things that he really liked was the way our practices were run and the amount of NHL players we were developing at that time at St. Lawrence.
Pierre, we have now the news that the Summer Olympics push back. They'll start July 23rd of 2021. Obviously, you have plenty of experience covering the games. How does that change now that there's at least a concrete date that's been put forth? How does that affect, in your mind, the athletes who are going to be competing? What does that do?
For those that were just teetering, and I talked to my brother about this, who was a really accomplished runner, and 1980 would have been a little bit too soon for him, but you never know. If he would have had a chance to go to the trials up in Canada, he might have made that team. I don't know. But that being said, that was a boycott year. But I talked to my brother about it. He says, for those that are really super elite, this will be good for them. The ones that were just teetering and might not have another shot after this, that extra year of training might hurt them rather than help them. So for every athlete, it's a little bit different. I would just say this from the TV point of view. Doing the Olympics is one of the most amazing opportunities you can ever have in our business. And I've had the good fortune of doing the summer and the winter games since 2002. And it's something that you always appreciate the opportunity to do. And I was so looking forward to go to Tokyo. I do water polo at the Summer Olympics. And, you know, hopefully I get an opportunity to do 2021 in Tokyo because I really enjoyed doing it.
Pierre McGuire joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. Pierre, we know how much you cover the NHL draft. I think you've told us about now your son's journey to get into the NHL and that kind of ride you're on with him. So the draft gets postponed. We don't have a date yet. I mean, for the amateur player, you know, everything that's going on in the real world, how do you think this is going to affect the draft process?
Great question, because it does have a huge impact. And I've talked to a bunch of scouts over time. The only thing they can do right now, they used to be able to do in-person interviews with players. They can't do those anymore. So all those interviews, if you haven't done them by now, you have to do them over the phone. It's not nearly as good. You can still send out standardized tests, whether they be for leadership value, whether it be for toughness or character. You can still send out written tests, but you don't have that in-person feel that you used to be able to have. So that's going to have a little bit of an effect. The top players, I think everybody knows who the top 15 to 20 guys are. That's pretty easy. This is a draft that's amazingly deep, and it's a draft full of character. So whether you're picking, you know, in the first 20 picks, or if you got picks in the fifth and sixth and seventh round, you're going to get players. You're going to see they're going to be guys deeper in this draft that are going to play, and people are going to say, where did they find that guy? Because everybody knew for the last 2 to 3 years this draft, the 2020 draft, was stock full of players. These are mostly 2002-born players. But it does have an effect on the amateur scouts. I've talked to a lot of them, and boy, oh, boy, you know, if they didn't get a chance to get enough looks at certain kids, they're going in there sometimes a little bit half aware of what the player can or cannot do.
Pierre, obviously, given what you just said about the draft, we know that there are more important things in the world going on right now. But when I drill down and think about it, what does an amateur scout have to rely on when they're giving recommendations about players and they're not seeing them? Like, what other aspects of this can be done? How much can be gleaned, too, from maybe watching a tape of a kid when you can't go see him in person?
You guys are so on it, Andrew and Chris. Tape is a big part of it now. I know a lot of guys are watching tape, which is great. There's a lot of different systems. There's one called Huddle, where the scouts have access to these situations, which is really positive for the scouts. But this is where your regional scouts will matter probably as much or more this year than your national scouts, Most teams have guys that work certain regions, and then they have crossover guys that are cross-checkers that go from city to city to city to see. So those guys may not be as up-to-date as they need to be, so that's where your regional scouts really have to be good. And this is going to be a major test for a lot of the scouts. But I think the one thing, again, about this draft more than any, it's stock full of really high-end talent, super high-end talent, both at every position, forward, defense, and even in goal. But the part of this draft that I think is going to stand out long-term will be the character and the toughness and the grit of this draft, especially later on in the draft as we go on. I'm not talking about fighters. I'm just talking about guys that really are smart, hard-nosed, in-your-face kind of players.
Pierre, lastly, before we let you go, obviously, like you said, you're in Connecticut. That's one of the, kind of the most serious zones of this in the country, that tri-state area. What are you and your loved ones, your family, doing to try to I guess, pass the time? People are always curious about what anybody else is doing to keep busy. So what has it been with you? Are you watching old games? How are you passing the days and the time?
Another great question. So I've been going for a lot of long walks. But I've been making sure my neighbors are okay. We live kind of remote. We're in the woods a little bit, so make sure my neighbors are okay. We've got a couple of older ones around, so I just want to make sure they're okay. And so far, everybody's good. And my children started their online classes today, one from his prep school up in Boston, because that's not open, and the other one from Dartmouth, where she's a freshman and, an athlete there. So they're both training down in our basement when they're not doing their online classes. And I'm trying to help out with my wife here in the neighborhood. So that's basically what I've been doing. But it's amazing. It's really amazing to see what this has done to this area in particular. I know it's a worldwide pandemic, but just in this area, it's unbelievable what it's done.
Pierre, stay safe. We're glad to talk to you and get even a little bit of a respite for a few minutes. We're privileged to talk to you every week and do this.
You know, Andrew and Chris, I can't thank you enough for having me on. I just want you and your listeners to just stay safe. And I know it's the easiest thing in the world, and everybody tells you this, but I'm telling you, because I'm seeing it, you got to wash your hands, and you got to be really smart about who you interact with. You got to be really, really careful. It's that dangerous right now. It truly is.
Pierre, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it, boys. Thanks very much. Take care, everybody. Be safe, please.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.